saying, you better be able to match it up to that word. Him we preach, Jesus. We preach Jesus, warning every man, say every man one more time, and teaching every man, there it is again, in all wisdom that we may present every man. Who's that include? Me. Say me. I'm included in that. You might have family that's not saved, but you're believing that they can be, right? Why? Because it said every man. Paul, who wrote this, was proof that every man could be qualified. Because if anybody should have been disqualified, it was Paul when he was Saul. Right? What an incredible thing for him to say, every man. Paul believed that. I believe that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That actually means, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. What he was saying with that, it was to make every man perfect, to make them complete. The Greek word is teleos. And it actually means to present every man an effective instrument. That's powerful, y'all. An effective instrument. All the youngins are gone. I was going to point out, from the youngest to the oldest, effective instruments, that's the plan. You know why guys don't throw away their tools? When I see somebody, like I told y'all, I love to look at Marketplace because I love to see other people's junk and find out what junk I cannot live without that belongs to someone else. But when I see tools for sale, you know what I think of? Some man died. And his wife is... Because guys that have instruments, I got tools right now, I promise, because I haven't used them yet. They'll be where they're at when I die. So when you know, you can put them on Marketplace or you can give them to him. But I'm not getting rid of them. Because if I ever need them, I've got them. Because they are effective instruments. And we need to be that in the kingdom of God. Effective instruments. That is the plan for us to be effective instrument. Which one? Every man. Which man? Every man. Paul said, I'm preaching. I'm compelled to preach like this. Why? Because I want to warn every man and I need to teach every man so that I can present every man to Jesus. Now, there's this thing that's going around. They don't call Paul Paul. They call him a movement. And the movement is Pauline. It's not some girl in the Bible that you've... I haven't ever read about Pauline. It's Paul, the life of Paul, so they call it Pauline. And then they'll call it the Pauline doctrine. Makes me so mad. It's trying to sow division right there. Here's the story. Paul was the baddest that he could be. He was so bad, and in his being bad, he thought what he was doing it for God. So God had to have a conversation with him, knock him down, blind him, and help him see something about himself so that he could see everything he needed to see about God. And this thing between Paul and God was a powerful thing. And the example of it is, no wonder the enemy would try to throw it off, because he took the worst and caused the worst to write most of your New Testament. So if something's wrong with Paul, something's wrong with the New Testament. So that little slip, just that little thing, let's call it a Pauline doctrine. Let's call it like it's something separate from the gospel of Jesus. And Paul, yeah, you love to quote Paul. You love to quote Paul. No, I love to quote the Bible. And God used a lot of people, and he used Paul. So if God can use Paul, God can use me. More proof. Paul and Jesus are not divided. Proof is in the Bible. Do you remember the false ones that were teaching and trying to conjure up something? And the devil, the demon, spoke up to them and they said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? Paul and Jesus connection right there. Because any other way he would be like, that demon would be okay with Paul and Jesus. Wouldn't even mention it. It'd be like, well, they say they love Jesus, but they're quoting Paul, they're following Paul. Good. Don't follow Jesus. Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Matter of fact, in Ephesians, it talks about there was, in Philippians, it talks about there was, that Paul said this. He said, when I came to Christ, I became an example for you. And that example, that Greek word, here comes tool talk. It's like striking something in a forge. And now there's an imprint. And Paul said, that's what happened to me. And now, from that imprint, there is a mold that can be made. And Paul is saying, follow me, because I've been stamped by God. And he will reproduce in you what he reproduced inside of me. So no wonder the enemy would try to divide the word and say, oh, that's just Paul. I've had people tell me that. I've had people in this room. They're not here today. something about that. Oh, you love to preach Paul, don't you? I say, yes, I sure do. I'm going to preach him. I'm going to preach him a lot. He wrote half the New Testament. I should preach him a lot. Just should. Because he's given me sound instruction. Now, someone said this. It is so good. And I saw this. And I've heard this. And Paul talked a lot about false prophets and warned a lot about false prophets. But the latest thing that I've heard somebody say that was just so powerful said this. The false prophets that Paul warned us about are now warning us about Paul. You do the math in that. Come on, you can do that. The false prophets that warned us about Paul. I'm sorry, the false prophets that Paul warned us about, those false prophets are now warning us about Paul. Pauline doctrine. Pauline. Anything. You see that? Anything they can do to cause division. Christ is not divided. So it's like a football huddle, except for it includes every man. And he's warning and he's teaching so that he can present, so that we can run the play. It's like an active race in our life. And there are tools that are extended to us. Why? Because we need them. We need them. We need tools. I'm going to help the husbands out right now. Look at your wife and say, the pastor said, I need tools. So that I can be an effective instrument. And he says this. I'm going to flip this one myself. Ephesians 6:12. He gives this warning of what's going on. And Paul's message is very consistent. He said this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What a message right there. If you can get faces off of your conflicts, you will go far. But if you're stuck with human faces in your conflicts, you're missing it. And you're going to continue to be disillusioned attaching your problems to other people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then he talks about the whole armor of God. He says, put it on, take it on. But he's trying to get their eyes to see, because there was a present evil manifested in men that was around them. It was the culture of the day. And then you had these wise, very smart people who would just love words of philosophy, love words of deep meaning, and they would love for you to look at them as, wow, that's amazing. Wow. And it bled right over into the religious world, because the Pharisees wore robes, so y'all could see their robes. And they wore phylacteries, and they tied these little leather boxes with leather bands to their head and had prayers in them so they would see. When I'm not even praying, my mind is on prayer. And they would go to the street corners and they would give these eloquent speech prayers so that people could hear them, and people could ooh them, and people could awe them. Almost like modern day church in some places. And we've fallen for it. Because the preached word of God requires something out of our lives. If I just tell you that life can be better, if I just tell you that if you'll do this, this, and this, things will be better. What happens when I get you doing this, this, and this? And one of the this is somehow your money's going to make it into my pocket. Sorry. I've yet to see it without that tie. And you did this, this, and this, and things feel good. I did it. I did the things. I did the formula. And then things still fall apart. What about then? Problem with that is when it's presented as a God thing, God, and it doesn't happen, God gets the blame. And the sever is made when God had nothing to do with it. And if you knew what this said, you wouldn't be fooled by it. That's why we're going to keep doing Bible studies. Chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict, say conflict, I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That's as much proof as you could imagine right there. Did you hear? He said, you've not seen my face. Paul had never laid eyes on these people, and he's preaching this to them. That is a proof of his calling. And that conflict that is inside of him is like, there's a truth for you. Even though I have not laid eyes on you, he talks about a man that's gone there and is running that church, and it's Epaphras, and he's praising Epaphras and thanking Epaphras for what he's done. But he's sending this word to them because he has he's an apostle, it means sent, and he's sending first things to them, and he's making sure that they're on page with the very foundational things, because you need to get the foundational things right. And he's telling them this, and he said, I've never laid eyes on you. You've never laid eyes on me. I want to go there. I long to go there. But what an incredible thing. To take off the equation that If I passed by you on the street, I wouldn't even know who you are. But I'm going to preach Jesus to every man. And I'm going to warn every man. I'm going to teach every man so that I may present every man. Just incredible to me. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This filling up of wisdom and knowledge. I want to be so clear on this. The filling up on wisdom and knowledge is something that each of us should do. But not to be seen by men at all. Not to be seen by men at all. The wisdom and the knowledge that he has for all of us, it's for you to be used in this life. Those effective tools to make you an effective tool with his wisdom and his knowledge. Doing his thing, knowing that you're pleasing your Father. Jesus said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's work? There is Father's work, and you need his wisdom and his knowledge inside of you. And that can quickly get messed up when you start thinking, I need to be wiser so that I can help those people who aren't as good as I am. Just a little example. When things get messed up, when we start looking at people, I've told my wife, there's so many times I wish that we just had a veil and nobody could see the singers. And then we put up another veil when the preacher came out and nobody could see the preacher. Because we make judgments, we look, we get distracted, we're human, right? Here's your example, that show called The Voice. If you ever seen it, let me get five witnesses so I won't be wasting y'all's. Okay, yeah, y'all be watching some TV, but we watch that. The Voice. My favorite thing is the first episode when everybody comes the first time with the chairs turned that way and nobody can see. And the whole essence of the show is that we are looking for a sound. And when we hear that sound, we'll turn around for it. But what happens after they've turned the chair and they have their contestants lined up, and the next time you see them, they've been to makeup. Somebody's bought clothes for them. They didn't come in here looking like that. And you look at the final episode. There's the smoke. There's the lights. There's the stardom. There's the backup band. There's everything because they have the look. It's not the voice anymore. I don't want to just be an echo. I want to be a voice and not an echo. Except what echoes, I want to be his voice. So as it echoes, I want it to be his voice. So how does that happen? His voice has to lead the way. If my word abides in you, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. Diagram. What will happen if his word abides in me? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you'll ask, what happens right there? If his word abides in you, what comes out? His word. I want to echo that. Verse 4, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, see, he's not there, yet I am present with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Say, order and steadfastness. Order and steadfastness. My wife has said this many times. A lot of people say they want peace in their life, but what they really need is order in their life. Peace follows order. Order comes first, peace will follow. But in this representation of this scripture right here, he's saying something that is so powerful. I rejoice to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Order and steadfastness are actually military terms. And it is representative of a military line, order and steadfastness. And it may be the most boring thing that there is if nothing is happening. But nothing is not happening when you have order and steadfastness. The truth is, everything is happening. You just don't see it. You just don't feel it. But the enemy sure knows it. Order and steadfastness. They're military terms of boundary lines that you hold. The order and the steadfastness, they're always there. They are the wall that separates. And he said, I'm rejoicing because I see the order and the steadfastness in Christ. In other words, if the order is breached and the steadfastness is breached, the enemy is already through the line. And he's gotten into your peace because you gave up the order and the steadfastness. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You're saved, walk saved. That needs to look like something. Oh, here it is right here. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, there's the mystery, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I don't have the time to get into that, but that Godhead thing is huge right there. And the religious people in that time, they could not stand it. They understood what God is, but he can't be in man form. And here's Jesus saying, I am God. Problem. It was a huge problem. And now here it translates over into to human flesh. Is that now it's that here's the mystery. Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me. Do you understand why they wanted to stop this? This is craziness. Christ in all of y'all. What? It can't be. So we need to start killing it. We got to kill it. We got to stop it. Christ in me. And he says, don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it by false reasoning. Don't let anybody talk you out of it by persuasive talk. Don't let anybody come in and smarten up on you and give you terminology and make you think things and sound so smart. And, well, you know, yeah, though you Bible scholars and blah, 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 and Pauline doctrine and blah, blah, blah. And you're right in the thick of it to the good side. Paul had a great grasp on it. He said, knowledge puffs up. There's only one reason that something puffs up, and that is to be seen. animals in the wild will do it. I've gone up to snakes, and I've touched them with a stick, and all of a sudden, they'll flatten out or they'll puff up, but they make themselves bigger. The enemy makes himself bigger. And the enemy wants you to make yourself bigger. But what does John 3 and 30 say, Walker? What's it say? He must increase. I must decrease. He must. The swelling is him. What did Paul say? Oh, come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I can roll with that instruction. I can see that imprint and say, mold me on that mold. Stamp me with that stamp till we all come into a form that mirrors Jesus. It slipped its way into the church. And now, it's not just slipped into our church, it's on display. It's in meetings, it's in how-tos. It's in, every big church now has a pastor's conference. So you can do what we're doing. I've seen it for years. I remember seeing a sheet that you won't get, but the pastors get. I remember seeing a sheet that said, it was kind of like this. I can't tell you exactly because it didn't mean much to me, but it meant something to me. How many of you are thankful for things in your life not to do? I love to do this, to do this, to do this, but I also love don't do this. And I got that sheet. I'll tell you two sheets. Both of them were pastor's conferences. One of them was introduction, 32 seconds. Welcome. First song, 3 minutes, 12 seconds. Short brief, 30 seconds. Short break, 30 seconds, instruct the people. Second song, 4 minutes, 12 seconds. Go right into the third song, 6 minutes. 2 minutes, pastor takes stage. 7 minutes, offering. We're betting that it works. Message, scripture reference. 22 minutes, 6 seconds. Parking lot attendants, get ready. Notify parking lot attendants. Why? Because second service is coming. We got to get 10,000 people out. So we can get 10,000 people in. Now you would think that I'm just raking very quickly the mega church. I'm not. I love what Paul said. Even in contention, Jesus was being preached. Jesus can sort every bit of that out. I said two sheets. Here's another sheet. Pastors. Stuff y'all don't see, but I see it, and you've seen it. Publicly engage with every person that attends your church. Saw your boy playing ball yesterday. Don't want to miss anybody. I'm on my way, brother. Ernie, you know you're my favorite. There used to be a family that had several children, and I would tell every one of them, you know you're my favorite. I would tell them that. And one day one of them said that, I'm his favorite. They busted it up, the whole thing. But he said, I was his favorite. So, anyway. Publicly engage with everyone. 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 Publicly engage with everyone. But privately, here comes your next word, ruthlessly. Should have known right there that was a devil involved. Publicly engaged with the whole congregation, but privately, ruthlessly invest in your top 20%. Who said it? There's the business. Yeah. And you know what I said? Boy, I could get myself kicked out of them meetings. I said it, and you know I said it. I said, yeah, John. I said, if you really believe in that, can I pass this sheet out to my church? And have you passed it out to yours? Disclosure? I said, because I can't find that anywhere in my Bible. Matter of fact, there's enough an instruction there. I got to tear pages out of my Bible to repeat what you just repeated. And I'm told in front of everybody, John, you're young. See, it's been a minute since I said that. He said, John, you're just young and you're just a maverick and you'll settle into this. And I said, no, I won't. And no, I have not. And I can't stand that. You want to hear the latest? Your church needs a name change. If it's a new church, it needs a cool name. If it's an existing church, you probably need a cool name. Website. This is 20 years old right here. Vision statement. Need a vision statement. You remember me struggling on that? Vision statement. Then they hit me with this. I mean, you need a vision statement. Then you need a mission statement. And I said, well, good night. Didn't I just? You need a vision statement and you need a mission statement. Sort of thinking, like, how can I make this up? And now you need branding. That's the biggest talk, your brand. Your church, your brand. And then you need marketing. Y'all remember when Paul was telling him how to set up the church? He told him, he said, you need a website and vision statement and mission statement and branding and marketing. So I started thinking about a vision statement. Here's your vision statement. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. There's my vision statement. You want a mission statement? Go ye into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to all men. How about that one? Branding. Branding. I want to be branded like Paul was. I want to be stamped so that a mold can be formed, and another one, and another one, and another one, till we all start looking like him. We all start speaking like him. We all start acting like him. We all have knowledge. We all have wisdom, because this one thing we all have for sure is an enemy. And if you don't have this, and if you don't have him, then all you have is an enemy to face. But with him, you can face any enemy. And you can be known. Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? Will you come, Chris? the marketing. Here's you some marketing. It'll cost you your life. Cost you your life. Lay down my life. Not my will, but your will be done. When you start talking about things like that, he must increase, I must decrease. If I want to go high, go low. If I want to be first, well, the line starts back there at the end. Be last. If you want to be great, you must be small. May not be a lot of takers in that. But on the back side of that, those who will, you'll have power. There is so much power in this room from believers. There's peace in this room. There's an enemy that's always trying to steal it, always trying to take it. But you hold that line. No breaching. Order. Steadfastness. Nobody's going to have a parade for you for being steadfast. Oh, it's Steadfastness Day. It's the day we honor John Morgan. There's a parade that goes through town. Remember how steadfast he was. I can promise you God's watching. I can promise you that the enemy won't stop. But I can also promise you that the enemy won't win. See, we get a disillusionment that there will never be a fight. God never promised that there wouldn't be a fight. He promised the enemy won't win. I'll go with that. I'll go with his word. I'll take his word. Because in his word, my sleep can be sweet. I wake up at 2, 3, 4 on the regular. But my sleep is sweet. Doesn't mean I'm going to get a straight 11 hours every night. Been a couple of times in my life the last few years, I have awakened, missed my alarm, and I'm in the position I was in that I remember I was in when I went to bed. I went to sleep like that, and I woke up like that. I thought, oh, my Lord, I slept all night long. I look at my, I'm like, I can't believe I slept that. And nobody else can believe it either. Because my sleep is jumbled. It's crazy. But it's sweet because he said it would be. My life is not full of drama. Because I have not lined my life up to be full of drama. You have a say-so in your future. I want you to get this. You take part in your own destiny. The things you sow for, that's the things you'll reap. That's his word. This message today will either make you feel better or way worse than when you came in here. I don't have golden promises for you in this life, but I can tell you everything that you go through in this life, you can have his joy and you can have his peace. And if you ever get that, you won't want anything else. Some folks will tell you that when I wasn't saved, I used to do this and do this. Like they, man, they miss those days. You can hear it in their story. They miss it. I tell you why you don't hear much of my old story. Because I had one. I can't stand it. I hate it. There needs to be a difference after Christ than there was before Christ. I don't want what's in my front windshield to look exactly like what's in my rearview mirror. If that's happening, you need to change directions. You're going the wrong way. I'm following Jesus. Following Jesus. And I believe that you are too. And I believe that His Word resonates inside of you. And it will more so. It will more so. Amen. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for not just your Word, but the way that you gave it to us. Thank you for choosing a man like Paul, who was chief among sinners, according to his very own description of his own life. Thank you for letting us see that you can use anyone. And that is your plan for every man to be warned, for every man to be taught, and for every man to be a display as being presented unto you, a tool of effectiveness. Every man and every woman, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want us to do something in closing today, because since Easter, we've joined in with praying for 1 million souls to be saved. The man who's over that sent out a very touching but telling video, and he talked about how a lot of churches haven't gotten on board with that. Broke my heart. You would think that churches would be like, yeah. Because he didn't ask you for anything. Didn't ask you for any money. Didn't ask you for a thing. He just said, will you pray once a day for the lost? And churches are like, kind of don't want to talk about sin. Kind of don't want to talk about that. That affects the offering. The cash offering. That brings us down. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, that's how I know. That's the one thing that I remember that tells me how off I was. I remember one day. I believe the scripture described it as coming to yourself, the prodigals. Wednesday nights, we always pray for the prodigals. It said, you remember the story about the prodigal? It said, when he came to himself. I love that. I remember when I came to myself. It was like every other day, except for that day, the Lord spoke to my spirit, and I saw me. I told y'all that. That's the kindest thing and the hardest thing He's ever done for me, is He showed me me. That's the kindest thing He did and the hardest thing He did, because I had my view of me. But when He shows you you, it's amazingly kind. It's amazingly gripping. And I remember that. And He showed me me. And when He showed me me, I knew it had to change. And I've always remembered that. He showed me me. And I believe that's what happened to the prodigal. When he said when he came to himself. To me, that's as if I said to myself, hey, have you ever said this? Like, has anybody ever done this? Like, you're doing something, and all of a sudden you're like, you start talking to yourself. You say, John, what are you doing? Have you ever done that? Like, I call my name, John, what are you doing? That's how it was that day. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know. So I want us to pray for knowledge that's already in. Most people that are away from the Lord, they remember something about him. There's still that connection there. And I believe it's torturous. I believe it's torturous. Because they're making a conscious effort to. You hear it. Don't hit me with that. Not interested in that. Don't you push that down my throat. Don't you tell me that. You're just as bad as I. Well, I saw you doing this. You know, it really quick. Because I believe there's a thread of connection there. And I want us to pray right now for the lost. And I took that prayer so more seriously this week than I have, except maybe when we first started. And I asked the Lord to do something. I said, Lord, help me when that opportunity arises that I'll do it, that I'll take the next step. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like. And can I tell you that what it ended up looking like was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Zero. But the Lord used something. And I want you to get this. I'm going to let you go, but I want you to look at it like this. Like, in my prayer for the lost, it does not mean that I've got to go to a lost person and lead them through everything and see them saved right there on the spot. And next thing I know, they're wearing a cross. Like, they weren't even wearing a cross, and all of a sudden a cross appeared on their neck. It was so holy, y'all, you wouldn't believe it. It might just be turning over some ground in their life. Or he may put me in touch with someone who has ground that's been broken, and all I do is just add a seed. Or it might be someone who's had the ground broken and there's a seed there, and I just water the seed. Or it might be someone who's had the ground broken and a seed has been planted and the seed has been watered and I see an increase. They come to the Lord. Do you understand that? Don't pray for 25% of the equation to happen. Pray for 100% of the equation 25% of the time. That I might just be a part of it. 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 Because the enemy will discourage you. You didn't see anybody saved? Well, they didn't take the... Remember the story where the father asked the son to do something, and the son said, I'll do it. And he didn't do it. But he asked another son to do it, and that son said, I won't do it. But he did. That rejection just might be part of that ground getting broke up. That seed might just be the confrontation of the truth, which the truth is, the truth almost always is rejected at first. I don't want to hear it. Watering. We needed that water so bad in the last couple of weeks, I could almost hear it going right down into the ground like the ground said. And the increase. Praise the Lord. We all want that. I just want to encourage you. Pray for the lost. Amen. If you'll say amen, I'll quit.